Welcome back, everyone, to Arc 3 of the Aurora campaign, Call of the Neverbright. A story away from Aurora and away from the Keepers of Carthwood as we explore even deeper the lore of our world, the humble beginnings of the Keepers Guild, and the dark mysteries of the Neverbright. We are Everything's a Mimic, and this is our D&D 5e actual play. My name is Nick. I'm the Dungeon Master of this campaign. It's been 6 weeks since we've played together, and as always, I'm joined by my good friends and players. Start over here with my big guy, my big girthy boy, Cody. Hit it.
Hi, I'm a big girthy boy, and I play big girthy girl.
Celeste. The big girthy girl.
Yeah.
I thought she was a big goth girl. I didn't realize she was a girthy girl.
That's... We called it BGG.
Got it.
A big good girl.
And I'm Ryan B. I play Casper Citration.
Oh,
No.
All right. The big girthy guy. The guy with the big girth. I was trying to think of something, but I can't. And that's why I was going to move on. I was going to use the same thing on you. Girthy. I'll do it to the other guy.
All right.
Hey, I'm Ryan D, and I play
the
Arcus.
The girthy guy.
Hey, I've got girth. You're so sweet.
Girthy, earthy.
Thanks, Cody.
You're welcome.
And last but not least, the earth with the girth. Coming in hot with the...
What's it coming
girth.
In?
Girth.
The camera adds 10 girths.
See, I'm Andy, and I play Ignatius Black, and I feel like I have more length than girth, honestly. So.
Long and skinny is usually like an anteater, you know. Yep.
It's like a nerd's rope
versus like a tunic.
Oh my god, it's so bumpy!
Why is it so bumpy?
That's concerning.
It's ribbed for your pleasure.
A lot of
and sweet.
It's covered in putrid pustules for your pleasure.
Once I settle my lawsuit with that Willy Wonka, I'll have all the money in the world.
My wonky Willy.
Do you think we can come up with our own urban dictionary for nerds on a dick?
Yep, that's definitely probably. Genital warts. I'm just saying.
How would we shorten the word genital warts like they did with the word Riz?
It could be nerdital warts.
It's got to be dumb sounding like Jenny...
Jenny Arts.
Yeah, I can see that.
I like Jenny
Jennerts.
Arts. Jennerts?
Jennerts.
Okay. Jennerts. Yeah, I have those Jennerts.
I think you guys are, I don't normally weigh in on this, but I think you guys are trying to be too smooth with your transition. Find the most obtuse way to fit the two words together and do that.
Entar.
There you go.
Entar.
Yeah.
Middle words.
That's better.
Okay.
It's a good rapper name.
Nittleworts.
Yo, what up? It's your boy Nittleworts.
So dumb.
That's good. All right. Well, Happy New Year, y'all. We haven't seen each other since last year.
And I thought I said stupid jokes.
Oh, man. Get ready because they're all coming. They're coming in hot today. So it's a new year.
Which means a new us, right?
It's a new us.
So we're going away from the Aurora arc completely.
Yep.
And we're starting our Delta Green campaign
Delta
today.
Green only today. I hope you guys brought your characters because we are jumping in right now.
Nice.
Roll them
I'm just
up.
Kidding. Mm-hmm. Oh. I'm just kidding.
Me too.
Roll them out.
That was an early April Fool's joke. What I do want to talk to you guys about, I had some ideas for like banters, but... I think what we need to do is discuss this lovely mail that I've gotten over the course of our time off here. We got some amazing dice sets and from one of our supporters of the podcast who wishes to remain anonymous still.
Keeping theme, can we call them Jenny Warts?
Yes. So thank you so much. You know who you are, Jenny Warts.
Jenny Warts, thank you.
So the first thing I want to show off, which I don't know if we're going to... I don't think we roll off for this. I think this is just a gift to the pod. And this is our a runic dice that they got for us. This is a monster of a... D20, and I showed it to Ryan D before you guys all got here, and he was like, the picture Did not serve it justice.
Yeah, it just looks like a black box.
It looks like a black box. Once it opens in the middle.
It's so fucking glorious, dude.
And it just kind of opens in the middle and reveals this fucking huge, absolute monster of a dice here.
I think it's either the size or bigger than a softball.
It's like a grapefruit.
Yeah,
like a grapefruit size.
It's huge.
It's the size of a Civil War cannonball.
Yes.
And do I roll it and ruin it?
We only roll that for bludgeoning damage.
Yes, but we roll it on the actual person.
Yes.
Yeah.
So this is basically a snow globe.
Yep. That's what it looks like.
And it is magnificent.
It's very cool. And that's by Runic Dice, gifted to us by our... supporter of the show, Jenny Wartz, our own Jenny Wartz.
Thank you, Jen.
Jenny Wartz.
It's got the little dots to show the proper polarity of the 6 and the 9. This is a, I get sick sometimes being so contrarian and having a difficult time just enjoying things in general. But holding this in my hand, you did good, Runic.
I feel like
it's my rare endorsement.
I think you should keep that on your side of the table.
I need to pass it around.
Yeah.
That is dope, though.
We should get a good, solid audio of us rolling that, and then just use it for, add it to our sound effects list.
Maybe we could, throw it into some cans or something, basically just so, to really...
Throw it through a car window outside?
Yeah, exactly. Throw it at a pedestrian that's passing by.
Go get some bowling ball alley noises or something like that. That's it.
So, we'll display it down there at the end of the table where our new screen is going to be as well.
Yeah, we're going to have to do some rearranging.
Yeah, we got a fancy setup, guys. You don't even know.
Up next, we have a Crimson D20 Chunk. I believe this one came from Wildflower Foundry.
Ooh.
Oh.
This is a Crimson D20 Chunk. I actually, when I first saw this, I was like, I don't know. I don't really use a lot of chunks, and I like my plums.
Yeah.
But the plum is a little bit smaller than this one. But the more I look at it, the more I've examined this thing, I actually kind of really like it.
Yeah, no, it's a great looking
die. I like the color. I like that dark crimson hue.
Yeah.
The blood.
It's very cool.
Mm.
And so this is going to be the first dice that we roll off for. Ooh. So who would like to roll off on this guy?
So what are the other dice look like?
We'll get to that.
Okay.
We'll get to that. All right, everybody get your D20s ready. We're going to roll off.
I don't have a good D20.
Because you're going to need one to get one.
I know. Oh, the pressure's on.
All right. You're going to yawn. 3, 2, 1, go. I'm going to let you guys call the sound off.
So red, and in particular crimson, is amongst my favorite colors. So it's only appropriate that I rolled my favorite number, 6.
Oh, shit.
Hey,
I thought you're good. I thought I
rolled... the worst, but I rolled a 7.
Oof.
I rolled a 6.
Oh, roll off.
Interesting. I rolled a 16.
Nice.
Interesting, because I rolled a 19.
Whoa.
Or a 61 if you turn it upside down.
Hey, I mean, those both beat 16.
If I had actually gotten it, I was going to give it to Ryan.
Yeah, because I was.
Because he's the blood guy. So.
Well, I'll tell you what. If I win one of these other sets, I'll give you the chunk.
Okay.
I'll give you the chunk. Speaking of other sets, we have this next one from the Crooked Tavern.
Ooh. I'm very excited about this.
And this one comes in like a nice little round tin that comes with a sweet sticker. And this one is a very light purple. It's kind of clear, but it's got a light purplish glitter. And on the inside, it's a liquid core dye. So the inside has this a blue
electric
resin.
Blue.
That's all right with me, man.
Yeah, yeah, those are really cool. I'm excited about those.
And they're really well made, nicely polished. Numbers are clearly colored. It's a really nice dice. So let's roll off, and I'll roll this new chunk I got.
No.
Oh no! All right, you're
come on,
power.
Baby girl, come on.
Fuck!
Jeez, no. Yeah, wow.
What'd you get?
A 6.
A 6.
Natural 1.
Natural 1.
I got a 9.
A 5.
I got an 11.
What? God damn it.
Yeah, baby.
Congratulations,
Thank
Nick.
You so much.
Congrats.
But that means I'm handing off the Crimson Chonk to Ryan Bizzle.
I dub the Sidorak.
Nice.
And last but not least.
Oh, yeah. Show us these boys.
These are super gorgeous, comes in a bespoke wooden box with a mimic face on it.
Oh, very
cool. Definitely, and it says definitely not a mimic. They told me that when they ordered these, they didn't get to choose the box. It comes at random. So when they got this, they knew it had to come to us.
That's pretty cool.
So, opens up. It's got all the foam in there to hold everything in place. These dice are just as lovely as the last ones, but these ones have kind of a liquid core, but on the inside is a floating demon eye or dragon eye on the inside.
Yeah, they are very cool.
I want those. I want to roll better than a 5 or a 7 on those.
These are really sweet. And I originally wanted these, but I'm going to back out of this roll because I already won the other one.
You won both of them.
Yeah.
So I'm backing out. I'm going to let you guys fight for it.
All right.
Fight.
Go ahead and roll.
Sorry.
What do you guys get?
A 4.
Jesus Christ.
I got a 14.
Okay.
I got a 16.
Oh.
Nice.
I got a 19.
Nice, Cody.
Yeah. Nice. There
Hell
we go.
Yeah.
Cool.
Congrats, dude.
Yeah, cool. Congrats.
Nice.
Your initial reaction to your roll made me think you got another very low roll.
I'm glad to see Cody get the highest roll.
I'm going
to
give it to Andy.
No.
Because he showed
that's too sweet.
All
that's
the interest.
Cool. You're too sweet, you. Cody.
Yes. Yeah.
All right.
Christmas is over.
Christmas is over. Happy New Year. You're going to need those dice.
Yeah, I'm going to roll these instead of my... I rolled this one and it rolled a 4, too. So you guys are... I'm going to roll these for the rest of the game.
So, Jenny Wartz, thank you so much for the dice. They are very cool.
They are awesome. Thank you.
Can't thank you enough. I mean, you don't have to when you do it anyways, and we just really, really appreciate that. So, thank you so much.
This new dice is the official dice of Caspis Attrition.
I did want to also bring up one more thing real quick, is we had a winner for the Mimic mug.
Hey,
they messaged us on social and gave us the correct answer to the question that was hidden in our show last week, and that is Sharana Valentino.
Hey, congratulations.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
You will be getting our bespoke
thanks for paying attention.
Mimic mug. Yeah, some of our dudes here didn't even know the answer. Some of them. But you got it right. You spelt it right on the first try. So congratulations. We'll get that mug shipped out to you post haste.
Woo!
Get bonus points if they can spell Mitzvurban.
Mutzharben.
Martz Skorlart.
Greetings, earthlings. Mitzvurboid here.
Martz Skorlart. I never have like a planned recap. I always do good on that first one. Then I come in... not good on the second one because I have to come up with that on the spot. So let's do the recap together.
Your funeral, man.
Last we left, you guys had all been interviewed, I think is a good word, by the Crown Sovereign. After your encounter with the Niyogis, you guys were intercepted by the Crown Sovereign and had to go through a rigorous interviewing process.
Yeah.
Rigorous.
Yeah. Yeah, they ask the real hard questions.
Just the hard questions.
Would you like some pink drink or not?
Yep.
Yeah.
And the answer was 75% of us.
Yeah.
Yep. Yes.
We drank that drink.
You guys drank the drink.
Only the guys.
Where? Celeste.
Do we go to the bathroom? Oh, he says yes.
Oh, gotta poop. Oh, God.
Celeste did not drink the drink, but that's okay. It did actually heal you guys, but it also imposed negative 10 on some social skills just to make you guys a little more loose-lipped, but don't.
No.
But shit. So let's talk about that real quick, this interview. What do you guys feel like you learned from that interview with, do you guys remember his name?
Sivis.
General Sivis.
General Sivis.
I was right. I just didn't say general. I'm gonna count it.
Syphilis.
And Ulysses
Seraphim.
Seraphim.
Yep. Ulysses.
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 Do you want Ulysses or Ulysses?
Ulysses. That's it. Yeah.
Okay.
Ulysses Seraphim is the high commander, and then General Sivis was the.
How high was he?
Oh, he was so high.
Not as high as Eldril Rokaran.
Right.
Fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Who's taking notes now?
Hey, that's good.
Oh, my man.
Eldril Rokaran. I learned from the best.
My favorite thing is that Ignatius is constantly writing in his book, but I don't write shit, so...
It's easier to say it.
Do you even know how to pull up the Google Doc?
I don't.
You open up like your book.
So is
Ignatius'
here?
Book is just scribbles. There's no actual legible penmanship in it. He's just pretending to write. I'm not actually. Yeah. I can't write.
Yeah, you just see it's doodles of like Arcos doing things.
Stick figure Arcos. You killed this Etten.
So when Ignatius finally does die, you guys find his book and it's just full of childlike drawings. There's no actual words in it. It's like Charlie Day, and It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Whenever he writes in his journal, it's just a bunch of symbols and stuff like that, pictures. All right, so you guys learned about... tell me what you learned. Go ahead, shoot.
Arcos saw Ulysses... with black wisps of smoke coming from his green eyes.
Yeah.
Emerald green. Like emerald green. Emerald nebula.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I would say that from the interview we learned that I didn't at least get the impression that they were being dishonest. I feel like they're going to tell us exactly what they're going to do, when they're going to do it, and they don't care what we think. So that's the important thing.
That tells you a lot right there.
Yeah, so that's why I wasn't necessarily super, or I guess Ignatius wasn't super concerned with, like, trying to... It didn't seem like they would have a need to lie. Like, they're just going to tell you, like,
yeah.
Oh, you're our enemy now, so sucks right. to be you, you know?
Yeah.
So I get the feeling that they are in a high point of power, at least from their perspective, and so it should probably be at least a little bit from our perspective as well. And I believe that they may try to put us on a path that could lead us to something or to make us slip up, as far as that would be about the deceit they might employ. But that also depends on what they got from Vilgast. We don't know what if they had a more strenuous interrogation of him.
They might have gotten more out of Vilgast than we did.
Yeah. So, and then if they know that, you know, we didn't lie, at least, so that's something...
Well, the fact that they're also releasing Vilgast and Zakhar back to, you know, to meet with us, and they're releasing us on our own recognizance, whether or not we want to work with them or not. I hear what you're saying, which is like, are they releasing us to go do, you know, whatever we want to, and then they can like use us? I don't think that, because they've already expressed that they're engaged in a crusade against Elvion 6. The purpose of their formation, the Nightshade contingent. Is to track and basically aggregate all of these shards as much as they can of the Neverbright together. They don't know if they can destroy it yet, but they need to, you know, get it all controlled, which sounds pretty familiar to me in terms of motivations. The big thing for me is that it's for them, take it or leave it. You can work with us. We'd prefer you work with us, or you can go do your own thing. But they clearly want us to be with them, and if we're with them, then we're not really going to be, you know, their hopes and dreams, I guess, are not. They have a goal, a purpose that they're setting out to accomplish, and we can come with them to do that. That, to me, suggests that they don't need us to go out and do something in order to follow us.
The thing that is interesting to me is that they are that they would let us go to the planet that they are, you know, actively crusading against. Because what's to say we're not going to mess something, like, you know?
Because they're not. My takeaway from that was that if they're not concerned with us as an agent actively working against them, then they're not going to be concerned with anything that we might do actively pursuing a goal that is essentially parallel to their own.
That's true, yeah. Yeah. All right.
I could be wrong.
Well.
A lot of suppositions.
Yeah. The other... It was mentioned briefly. General Sivis did take note of... When you had mentioned that you had fought, you just came off that ship.
Yeah.
And he was mentioning that it was a class 3 threat. All kind of retroactive. He seemed a little impressed by that. And the fact that they didn't engage before you guys did. And you don't know how long they've been here. Because they've been cloaked, you know. But like the fact that you guys were able to do that when they wouldn't. I'll just say that.
There might actually be a degree of similarity to our approach and their approach. There might have been a little bluffing on their part going on, like, man, I hope they don't decide to make something of it, you know? And it could be that we're, you know, a little bit more evenly matched, I suppose, or at least we had the potential to do some serious damage.
I'm out of fireballs.
Yeah, I know. Hold I'm on, out guys. Of everything, too.
Let me take a nap.
My guns, little bullets. I promise. Until I rack the slide. Oh, yeah, a lot of bullets in there.
So many. Overflowing, actually.
Yep.
Too many bullets.
Too many cooks.
Too many cooks.
All right, so the interrogation is over. Interview is over.
We got the job.
He says, either way, you are free to go. And please wait here a moment longer, and you will be reunited with your friends. You just have your moment to kind of discuss amongst yourselves how that interview went. And soon you are indeed reunited with Zakhar, Vilgast, and Kingsley. The guards walk them into the room and begin. You see that they don't have the bracers on anymore, and they've got their stuff. These guards come into the room with boxes with your guys' stuff in it. Everything's separated, and they take off those bracers. And they're like, "All right, your catalog inventory has been returned to you in kind. You all may have the room for the time being to collect yourselves. We understand that an interview under the current circumstances can be, shall we say, taxing. When you're ready to leave, we will have a quick debriefing on deck, and then you can be on your way. Thank you for your cooperation with the Crown Sovereign." And they leave. Vilgast, as soon as the door closes, he's like, "They asked us about the Neverbright."
"They asked us the same."
"And?"
"We told them what we know, which is nothing."
Vilgast looks at you and gives a knowing and understanding nod. "Very well. So what are your feelings on this?"
Nobody else speaks up. Caspis might, after a moment's deliberation, say, "They're going to be a present force and one to be reckoned with, whether or not we want them or not. Might be to our advantage to acquiesce them and to work together."
"Yes, I am no stranger to the Crown Sovereign and their influences across the Aether. I've seen them decimate nations under their righteous directive to unite the people, but perhaps they could truly help with destroying the Neverbright shards.
At least containing them."
And Kingsley is just like, "Sorry, I don't really have much else to add. I will say these people scare me.
Kingsley, did you imply at one point that they had engaged in significant action against your people?"
"Against other communities of other Sirlons, not necessarily my community."
"Would you consider these shows of force justified in some sense?"
"Absolutely not."
Did they ever elucidate what their motivation was in pursuing this warfare against your people?"
"It was deduced by the Crown Sovereign that Sirlons were aberrations and needed to be dealt with as such. It was never made outwardly public, their aggravations with our kind. Perhaps they saw us simply as lesser beings." "I mean, honestly, the fact that they haven't done anything with me is frightening. Maybe that's because I'm with you guys."
While they're talking, Celeste is kind of walking around. How big is this room?
Oh, it's maybe...
Maybe about half the size.
About half the size of this room. So, what, like 20 by 30?
It'd be like 20 by 30 is bigger than my cabin.
Okay, 16 by...
15 by 15.
Sure, 15 by 15.
She's going to walk around. Does she... I want to investigate. Is there any way for them to hear in on our conversations?
Roll perception.
It's 16.
Say you start examining the walls, like looking around for ducts, different ways for them to spy on you guys while you're talking. You don't find anything like that, but it's not unreasonable for them. I mean, they're allowing you guys on their ship with your weapons and all your stuff with your party together. It would make sense that they would have some way to hear what you guys are saying so they can be on their guard.
Okay. Cassius would definitely assume that they are.
Yeah.
And everything that I'm saying, just, Cody, I didn't mean to interrupt you. So no matter what I say, though, I'm going to basically proceed with that assumption. But all the same, for effect, I'll lower my voice and say, authoritarian structures tend to operate in a very unilateral, top-down fashion. The fact that they have not detained Kingsley or taken any action against him is serious cause for consideration as we proceed forward.
I also noted they did not react to my appearance, which is rare in general, but maybe they're not familiar with my type.
One question. From all the ones that we've seen unmasked, have we seen any indication that there are any races other than astral elves present in their ranks?
Sorry, I said it one more time.
Do they look like they're uniformly astral elves?
Yes.
Okay.
Vilgas is like, the Crown Sovereign, although displaying somewhat pure intentions with their interview, may be putting more at risk than they believe. It was revealed to us, perhaps on purpose, that they have more shards contained somewhere on the ship. How many, I do not know.
We could make like a necklace or something.
That's what I was thinking. Something like...
It would look really cool.
Right. Just a really cool...
You like a mosaic fresco?
I do wonder if there is enough shards that we could all make a friendship necklace out of it. Each one of us gets a piece of the shard.
We smash them into smaller shards, and we could make even smaller pieces of more intricate jewelry.
Gaspes, that is brilliant, my friend.
I think this is a wonderful idea, and we should pursue it post-haste.
It's been so long since I had a good craft time.
Kingsley's like, what the fuck are you guys talking about?
Craft time.
A little bit of levity.
Kingsley, we have important things going on. Have I showed you my god's eye? No.
It has been more than a fortnight since our last crafting.
That's when you realize his necklace is just macaroni and cardboard.
This is what we made at our last craft night. They're all pulling out macaroni necklaces.
Yeah.
Or artwork. See, this is me stabbing an ogre to death.
Kingsley is slowly backing out of the room. Oh, God. All right. So we've agreed on nothing and we talked about craft time.
It appears we should probably make a decision before we leave this room. Do we join them or do we continue on our own?
Do we think that if we do not join them that they may be our opposition?
It's possible. I also feel that it is basically impossible to proceed on our own. I think no matter what, they are going to be at our side, so to speak.
So either they use us or we use them. I think it may be wise that we use them.
I'm a little uncomfortable with the turn of phrase there because I'm just imagining them with their ear against the door and stuff, but I'm like...
Yeah, okay.
What did they just say?
We look and we see that General Civis is just like peeking through a crack in the door and we look and he shuts it a little bit and then reopens it.
You guys don't have those bracers on, so I assume you guys are trying to be discreet. If you guys have to use means of, like, speaking to each other in your minds and stuff, I'm assuming that that's...
Yeah.
Some of the more discreet topics you guys are probably... I'm assuming you guys are using due diligence.
You, like, write it out with, like, macaroni or something?
Yeah.
Wait, why do you have so much glue in macaroni? Just bags of it.
Look at the glitter! Oh, my God! This place was immaculate before you came in here.
Yeah. I'd say that Ignatius would, I'll say in Vilgast's mind, basically, do they know? And he'll kind of like glance towards, where I don't know if it was in his pocket or, but you know, he kind of, he was.
His never bulge.
Yeah. He's glancing towards his never bulge. Do they know how big you are?
And he looks at you and just kind of shakes his head no.
Okay.
And then acknowledging that you're referring to the shard that he carries.
And then, yeah, he'll say, are you concerned they will? In his mind again. Because that's kind of the thing I'm also concerned about. If we stay with them and he has this thing on him the entire time, you know, like, it's going to give them more chance to be like, you have that thing we want. And now things get real.
Mm-hmm.
But... That's just a thought. So
he vocalizes in response. He's like, "I don't know."
Guessing what's going on between them. Do you have like a telepathic capacity?
I have a cantrip message, so I can message to him. Don't think he can the target and only a message and replies in a whisper that only you can hear. Okay, so yeah. So yeah, he can reply to me telepathically and I can talk to him for basically just for one sentence and then I have to cast the spell again, so. But it's a cantrip, so.
I can't speak freely, so I can't really elucidate my thought process on this whole thing, but
If you made reference, Ignatius would turn to, if you were kind of like made a gesture to let him know that you were, then he would message you and you could message him back without anyone hearing it, so.
Okay. Knowing that you can speak telepathically, I would try to get your attention.
Mm-hmm.
Ignatius, perhaps you might ask him whether or not it is our intention to obtain control of as many of these shards as humanly possible. If not, then it might be advantageous to surrender ours to them. And if it is, perhaps the same, if the intent is to get as many shards as possible, we may as well have them all in one place at one time, since we're going to have to get them anyway.
That's, I just realized, Arcos has not, made note of the shadow stuff that came out of, so we don't know anything about that. I was going to say, because I was going to make note of, like, because that could be, even, I didn't get that vibe from Sivis. But if their leader is, potentially corrupted, then that could, but yeah, we don't know about that. So yeah, he'll kind of at that point, when the idea starts getting more complex, he'll look to Celeste, who can make a more permanent bond to share this, information.
I can only share it with one person.
Yeah. So he'll basically share it with you and then allow you to liaison. So he's not having to constantly, cast a single spell over and over again, because you can just do it for how long does it last for you?
Until I sever.
Okay, so then yeah, he'll basically give kind of fill you in, and then you can sort of spread it around as we need, because you're it'll be easier for you, I think.
I just want to see how this actually works.
Yeah, because as far as I know, Ignatius is much more of a quick one.
Yeah, it lasts for an hour.
Okay.
And I don't know if I can mind link with multiple people, but if you wanted to send her a message,
okay,
she could reply.
Okay,
with a mind link.
All right, so he would send you the message that Caspis.
Well, the idea was either A, we trust them to, and they've got most of the shards anyway, and so they're going to do what we want them to do with the shards, which is destroy them, or B, we believe that the shards are safer in our own hands, and so it's our ultimate intent to take their shards from them as well. Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't really hurt for us to add the one shard we have to their big pile of shards that we are going to inevitably have to go get anyway.
So do you send that message to her?
Yeah, he would send that to her.
She would telepathically bond with you.
Okay.
Or mind link with you.
Yeah.
Well, no, I don't trust these people at all. Even he said, even the strongest willed can fall ill to the power of the Neverbright. And what was it that he said? They've already got some? So yes. What's to say that they haven't already fallen for it? And I think we should end our talks here and bring it back to the ship.
So he would,
You guys hear a commotion coming from the hallway. Some arguing, like, muffled voices.
Oh, they're fucking outside.
Like, you hear like a thud, and then some like dragging.
Ignatius will kind of go over to the door and crack it open to look to see.
Colonel Mustard with a candlestick.
You open the door, and it looks like they're dragging two figures out, but they're going the opposite way of the way up.
So back they're going into the further deck. into the ship. Yeah. Can I make out what they're dragging? You said people, I'm assuming, but would it be reasonable? Well, he didn't see them. Do they look?
Roll a perception.
Okay.
Ruffians.
Oh, finally. 20, dirty.
Yeah, they look like similar garb to vampires you guys dealt with.
Do they have like anything over their heads to kind of?
No.
So do I?
They look roughed up.
Do I recognize the one guy? Because you said that he recognized the one guy that ran from us, vaguely.
Yeah, I'll say like
a hint of recognition. Like yeah, maybe yeah. I saw him. Okay.
The people that are getting dragged out look like the vampires, or the vampires beat up the elven.
<That'd be funny>. They're just dragging.
I'm getting confused a little.
The vampires are being dragged.
Okay.
Further
okay.
down into the ship.
Okay.
Do they look dead?
They don't look dead.
So they're kind of, are they struggling?
Right.
Okay. So, I mean, that's not that odd to me. They're vampires. I don't. Mm-hmm. So Ignatius would kind of look and he would be like, no, this is the vampires. One of them looked familiar.
What languages does Nace know?
He knows common and infernal. Not a lot. He does, however, know comprehend language, but he would have to... He does have a spell slot to cast it for his first level spell, but he would need to know to...
Yeah, well, Arcos knows infernal as well.
Oh, okay.
I'm assuming that's...
The loudest language.
Yeah.
Mostly just the loudest. Death metal screaming the entire
yeah.
time.
I'm assuming that's how we tend to communicate. When we're trying to keep things from
can you guys give us a snippet, you know, for me and the audience of this mm-hmm. language?
Yeah, did you have a precedence for how infernal sounded before?
There's a lot of like a lot of weird tongue rolls and stuff like that, but
I can't roll my tongue, so yeah. That's gonna be
or we could just have
last night.
No.
You gotta pay extra for
if
that.
You oh shit, if you speak Elvish, do astral elves speak Elvish?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I do speak Elvish, so if they're conversing with each other in like some kind of, you know, non-common tongue, I could potentially pick up on some of that stuff. That's just, you know, I know they haven't been, you know, at this point, but if you
I would say if Ignatius cracked open the door to see what was going on, maybe mm-hmm. you caught an ear of what they're saying, just a couple of words. It sounds more like they're just like, take these ruffians to the brig.
Okay. It sounds like they have,
take
these based
brigands.
On their conversing with one another, it sounds as though they have concluded their interview under decisively less favorable terms for the two we passed earlier.
That would make sense. I would do that.
I believe they are detaining them in the brig.
Shit.
I know infernal as well.
Okay, nice.
So us three know infernal.
Bunch of edge lords.
Yeah, I think in infernal, Arcos would just be like, once we get off the ship, there's more to talk about.
So with that, Ignatius would respond and say, like, we should probably make haste and get the details out that we need to.
Mm-hmm.
Looking back and forth between the three of you guys, like, what the hell is that?
so sorry. We were deciding which craft we would do once we got back to the boat.
Well, it sounded pretty brutal.
Yes, it is. It is going to be a great time, Caspis.
We're going to make a macaroni murder, lady.
Well, I'll make sure I detune my guitar.
Perfect. Now, How about we get back on our vessel? Feeling a little cooped up in here.
Let us confer with our hosts and return.
All right. You guys exit the room, and you see some guards in the hallway that's kind of motion towards the opposite way to go back up to the main deck. And you follow that way?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. After we've collected all of our gear.
You have all your gear?
Yeah. Oh no, we left all our gear.
You have all your gear, bracers are off.
Okay.
Yeah. You get to the back up to the deck of the ship. You see General Civis standing there with some guards, and he's like, "We would like to thank you for your cooperation with the Crown Sovereign up to this point. It makes for a much more pleasant stride through the Aether. I see you have your things and will be on your way. However, I must ask, will you be joining us?"
"Well, we do appreciate your offer. But we have confidence in our group, and with how big this ship is, it will just draw attention to the mission we are trying to accomplish. It is nothing against you all. You all seem like..."
I was under the impression, actually, that we were going to work with them, but that they were going to let us do it from our ship.
Oh, okay.
Is that inaccurate, Nick?
Did I misread that?
Did they want us to leave our ship if we work with them?
You guys don't know yet.
Okay, yeah.
So maybe we could ask that. We'd be cool with working together with him if they let us pilot our own vessel.
Yes. Would we be granted free agency to pilot our own vessel if we were to work together, or would we stay aboard yours?
Of course. We'll be sending a scouting team on a different ship, a Shrike-style ship, very small. a little bit smaller than yours. But if you'd rather take your own vessel, you're free to do so.
How many men does this ship transport?
It's a Shrike-style vessel, a little bit larger than a normal Shrike, but it can carry up to 12.
With an extended cab.
And what size crew is manned on there?
Currently 6.
Hmm. 6 of your best men, or just like 6 mediocre, of your... You know. 6 of your men.
6 of our finest soldiers.
Is there any way we could get the bottom of the barrel soldiers?
You know, people who are easy to kill.
Very easy.
Just like...
Some that would not blink twice at our motivations.
Do you have any, like, babies in your crew?
Babies. Is there any babies easy. We could kill?
Do you have any babies or perhaps already dead people?
This is kind of propped up, like, we can say. As a matter of fact, that's like 90% of our crew. All right, so we don't obviously say any of that.
Yeah.
But, so...
That seems like a very small force to send to the planet. It might be to your advantage to fully staff out your Shrike and allow us to take our vessel alongside it and present a slightly more versatile show force. Depending on the limiting principles, it's possible you may want a more modest expeditionary force, but I don't think that 6 extra men would be straining stealth, for instance.
Your suggestion of tactic is appreciated, although the Crown Sovereign has made careful consideration of the dangers that could be encountered on Elvion 6. We are confident in the skill of our finest, so you will be taking your own vessel, correct?
Yes, I believe that's...
Yes.
Perfect. Then we shall make way as soon as possible, though preparations and considerations have been made to include you on this mission. Should you need to return to your vessel for rest and resupply, please feel free to do so.
What do you mean by preparations?
Preparations in the way of knowing who is all going down there in our team.
Oh, okay.
We did notice that your ship appears to have no offensive weaponry aboard. No ballast, no turrets. You feel comfortable descending to the planet's surface in an unarmed, undefensible vessel.
Well, if we were to be given time to recuperate from our last battle, we would have a rather formidable array of ballast, as you say.
Very well.
Unless you would like to give us one of your skiffs, you call them? What was it called?
Shrike.
Shrike. Unless you let us pilot one of your shrikes.
I'm afraid we cannot do that, but... Yes. You're welcome to join us on our ship, or if you're going to take your own vessel, you're free to do so. We will await your rendezvous with us before making way. I ask that you do not dawdle too long, but as soon as you are ready, please return to us here on the Lucid Star.
Yes, my flame was spent on the kind of gestures towards the vessel, and I would like to have that back.
Very well. We shall await your return. He does the whole kick salute thing, kind of. What is that called?
What, the about face?
Yes.
Yeah.
Does that whole like thing, just like stands at attention, holding his left hand up in the style of the Crown Sovereign. Return here as soon as you're finished, and you guys are free to go.
Right on.
All right. Well,
send back to your ship.
Yep.
You see the the platforms getting pulled back up, and you guys are back on Vilgast's ship, which I don't think it has a name yet, FYI. Got all these cool names for all these ships coming up. That's something to consider.
Can we call it the Flappy Bird?
Oh man, I was going to say the Flaccid Star, but Flappy yeah. Bird's pretty good.
So you guys are back on the ship. You see the galleon start to kind of like kind of phase in and out, and then just kind of disappears.
Yes, that will make it very easy to come tell them when we're ready.
Yeah.
while everybody else is, I'm assuming, resting, can Arcos do a search of the ship to look for any...
Listening devices?
Listening, yeah, tracking devices, etc.
Celeste wanted to do that, too.
Yep. Go ahead and roll...
invest?
Do an investigation. I'll say, because you need 8 hours, right?
Yeah.
So I'll just say during this time, you get a chance to roll a thorough investigation.
Does rolling an investigation take away from the 8-hour sleep?
Yes.
Okay, I'm not investigating.
Okay.
Can he have, since he can do it, does he have advantage on it then? Because he's able to, there's really not a time, you know, sensitive, so he can go over
if you're not taking the 8 hours?
You're an elf, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or are you half elf?
Half elf.
Oh, okay, so you still do need 8. I don't think you get trance as a...
No, I don't. But yeah, I mean, I would be down for a short rest.
Because you don't really... You don't have stuff that recovers on a long rest, right?
I mean, I do, but mainly spell slots.
Okay.
And yeah, I mean, I don't think they'll be that important.
Well, and usually... So here's the thing. Usually for when you do the 8 hours, it is considering a 2-hour watch per person. So since we aren't really going to be watching, in theory, could he... I guess could each of us spend the 2 hours that you would normally spend watching, you know, searching?
Sure.
Okay.
That's a good argument. Go ahead.
Okay, so with advantage or no?
No advantage.
Okay.
Okay.
So then I guess, why
would you get advantage?
I just asked.
Yeah, because I was asking if that was a thing because he had time to do it, but now we just have the 2 hours. But if each of us spend that, because, you know, if it was kind of known that this could be a thing, you know, maybe you tag out and be like, all right, I searched this part, you know, and then we'd kind of go do that.
And, you know, if it takes longer than 2 hours, we could always roll at disadvantage, you know.
Yeah. Well, Ignatius will search when his, all right, so it's a, what is it, an investigation, you said?
Yes.
Okay, so that would be a 19.
Okay.
And I rolled, while we were having that conversation, I rolled a 1, so it's a 7.
I thought that was a 7, yeah, okay.
Okay. Yeah, you don't find anything. Arcos and Ignatius both don't find anything.
Do I know crash out again?
What'd you roll?
7 plus 1 equals 28.
did you really get a 28?
No, okay. I rolled a 7 plus 1, so okay. A total of 8.
You do not find anything. You're not going to roll?
I mean, I could just to see if, and you never know, I might roll something insane. But I've only got a plus 1 investigation, so... 12.
Nope.
All right.
And I even rolled for Vilgast, Zakhar, and Kingsley. And they all rolled a 3, a 12, and a 14.
Jesus. So 19 is the best we got.
19 is the best you got, and you didn't find any, nothing, no tracking devices.
All right.
Okay.
So
it definitely looks like things have been rummaged through.
Okay.
For sure. Like things were pulled out and then hastily put back into things and...
Okay. So, yeah, Ignatius will sleep soundly.
Like a baby.
Knowing that there are no tracking devices on this ship whatsoever.
As his butt is in the air, blinking like a klaxon.
The camera slowly settles on it.
Yeah.
So, I'm sorry, what did Arcos get a short or long rest there?
Long rest.
Yeah.
Okay.
So everybody should be back up to full?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You guys all awake, feeling rested and rejuvenated, blades sharpened and polished, spells prepared, and arcane powers focused and ready. Get your bearings straight.
Ooh, all my bearings.
All your bearings.
Ooh.
And you guys head back to the... Where do you go? Do you guys go back to refuge, or do you just head back up to the ship? I mean, do you need anything? Or are you good?
Arcos could really use a ranged weapon. That was the one thing that I didn't outfit him with that could have definitely come in handy last combat. It's not a huge thing, but if there was a way to get a crossbow or a short bow or something, that would be helpful.
I feel like since we're working with the Crown Sovereign, they might be willing to...
They could commission one to you.
Yeah.
If you ask nicely... And you rolled a diplomacy, or persuade.
Give me a fucking bow. Hey, give me your bow.
Hey.
When you are feeling confident and ready, you return to their location. The Lucid Star phases back into view, and they invite you aboard the vessel, where you are greeted by General Sivis and his soldiers. Welcome back, friends. It appears that you are all in tip-top shape, ready to embark to the surface of Elvion 6. Is there anything else you need before we venture off?
Yes. I was was wondering, do you by chance have a ranged weapon of sorts that that could be utilized during this mission?
He turns over to one of the archers and pulls out a pistol and then shoots him in the head. He just kind of falls to the ground. He's like, there you go. I'm just kidding.
Arco stands there and he's like, whatever you just used would be more than effective for what I have in mind.
No, he's like, it's a little against policy, but I don't see why we couldn't commission one of our bows to you.
It would be greatly appreciated.
Okay, and go ahead and roll a... Just roll luck to see if this actually happens.
Like a percentile?
Yeah.
A 70.
All right. And so what you get is a silver bow. Silver short bow.
Yes, this will do quite nicely. And Arcos notches an arrow, pulls it back, and he releases it into the archer's head that General Civis just shot. He's like, yes, this will do just fine.
All right, if you are ready to go.
I believe we are.
And so you guys are taking your ship, right? That was the deal?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Commander Civis turns to face his crew as well. Six soldiers in sleek, black-in-color uniform armor with smooth, full-plated helms, their weapons holstered on their backs or on their waists. He addresses them and you at the same time. Our directive is to descend to the surface of the infested planet. We will land on a cropping of land that overlooks our target, a black pyramid in design that emerges from a body of water. We will descend off our high ground to a point of ingress located near the top of the monolithic structure. From there, we cannot assume knowledge of what's inside, only that our beacons have triangulated within that structure. Vilgas turns to you and says under his breath, I've done some research, and it's safe to assume that this structure is a good point of ingress. There are networking tunnels. Even if we don't find what we're looking for there, we can move carefully through them rather than returning to that noxious surface. Our team will descend upon the planet at your side and lead the way to the plotted cropping of land where we shall disembark. And so, from here, we see a montage of scenes of the Crown Sovereign's ship assembling and taking off with Vilgast and party upon their respective ship, closely in tow. The planet, from a distance, appears as a dark sphere whose silhouette can barely be made out in the vastness of the void. The planet in question is not much bigger than the moon its people escape to. For a normal planet, with plenty of nearby light sources, you would easily see this object. However, in the darkest of space, in the cold reaches of the void, where the stars have long since died and their residue has long since dispersed into nothing, an object appears. As you get closer, glints of dull indigo and blue glowing can be made out through the thick black smog that envelops the celestial body. We see that your ship trails just behind the Elven Strike vessel as they lead the way.
So are we kind of like rolling down together?
Yeah. Descending through the smog and reaching planet side. As you hover over the landscapes painted in cold, dampened colors and faint bioluminescence just below a canopy of shadows, black leaves, and rotted putrid flora, you enter the atmosphere in this once magnificent planet and find that any light is provided by the local flora and fungi scattered about. Bodies of water glow in an amber hue and pulsate in foreign patterns. As you fly over these masses of water, something gargantuan appears to take residence in their depths, too murky to see as you catch the tail end of something jetting to the left. You can see what looks like a massive black pyramid emerging from the water. It stands as a monolith of the past among the foreign elements that have infested and consumed this world. Vilgast, mouth agape, just speaks without acknowledging anyone.
There it is.
Past the pyramid is a waterfall draining into the viscous water, glowing with a dull radiance. The Shrike and your ship fly up above the top of the waterfall where massive stalagmites emerging from the depths can be seen. At the water's edge, you see strange fungi-covered creatures that might resemble elk on Aurora, only they have multiple eyes on either side of their heads, and their antlers appear to resemble layers of ripple bark fungus.
Oh.
Yeah.
Caspis is already overboard.
They stand on the empty cropping of land that resembles mudflats. As you get closer, the creatures egress into the thick forest, disappearing from sight as they escape into the trees beyond the mudflats. The shrike vessel comes to rest on an embankment near the water with a hum, and Vilgast brings the vessel down nearby. The climate is cold and damp. The shadows are dark and deep. Out of this body of water, you guys see just like massive stalagmites are the ones on the ground, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It looks like giant stalagmites kind of jetting out of the water, several of them. And other than that, that's it. So, I mean, this planet, we'll say, once you guys get down to it, it's just like, it's cold because there's no sunlight. It's not unbearably cold because of whatever atmosphere is kind of holding in this dank,
humid kind of dank,
yeah, humid feel. And then the air is cold and salty, almost. You kind of get like this, not like salt water, but more like, it almost feels viscous in your mouth.
Gross.
And salty.
Mm. Like you're breathing in fat people at the gym.
Like you're breathing in a fat dude at the gym, whose name is also Jim.
Yeah.
You see the six elite elven soldiers march off their craft. They all appear similar in garb and armor, three of them carrying bow and arrows, three of them wielding glaives. They clamp tools to their belts and prepare for the mission ahead. Three stars adorn the left shoulder of an approaching figure you could guess is the captain of this mission. I'm Captain Elric. General Sivis has placed this mission in my charge. We'll begin by moving through these waters to the fall's edge. From there, we scale down, descending atop our target structure, the Black Pyramid just over the falls.
What do we believe to be in this structure?
General Sivis reports this is where the Neverbright Shard has been detected. Our team has been tasked with locating the shard and eradicating any Class 1 and Class 2 aberrations along the way.
All right. Do we have a method of descending?
Oh, we thought you did.
Kind of looks back and forth.
Oh, shit.
He just kind of jumps off to avoid the
bears. Arcos wants to lean over to Vilgast if he's near and be like, Vilgast, is this where we need to come with the keys?
This appears to be a great point of ingress. According to the information gathered from Lucille, there are a few sites on this planet, but each of them that are of importance to our goal, they are connected by a series of networking tunnels and gateways.
Okay.
So, yeah, after...
Sorry, I didn't answer your question. How do we get down? You see that the elven soldiers have a tether attached to their ship and fastened to one that leads the way of their group, which is not Captain Elric, who appears to be taking the rear position in their line.
Mm-hmm.
The one leading the way says, we'll fasten a hook to the furthest stalagmite there, and points to one close to the edge of the falls. That will keep the line tight to the edge of the falls so we can use it to descend to the structure. Something to note, this water has properties that allow us to move atop it as long as you keep moving and apply enough force. If you stop, you'll sink and find yourself needing to spend time removing your feet from the liquid. Stay on your feet and keep moving. And they begin walking out.
Like kinda, he's walking on top of it?
Like he's walking on top of it. Slowly making their way out toward the edge of the falls around 60 feet, pulling the tether along with them as they move in line. Each step ripples the surface of the pool. As you all begin to move out onto the water, the sensation is odd, to say the least, because it appears as liquid water. You can see a bit into the murky fluid and see the small creatures swimming about, but as you move atop it, it simply is not. It's gelatinous, almost. You maybe feel your foot sink momentarily and then remove it with a slurping noise and continue to press onward.
It's stomp water.
Is it kind of like that sand? Or that I can't remember what it is. It's like that thing where if you kinetic fluid or whatever. Yeah.
Ooblock. Yeah.
That's kind of cool. So if you stop, you'll sink, but...
Right.
Really quick, before we get too much further, who took that ring of shield?
I don't remember. I know we took a bunch of stuff and we never actually...
Yeah. So I guess who wants it?
There was a silver mace, too. We didn't actually look at that either.
Yeah, there's a few things you guys didn't actually look at.
So, yeah, I guess, should we, like, because I just forgot about that stuff. Should we, like, just kind of retcon that we actually looked at that while we were...
resting? Yeah. I mean, if that's all right.
Or after, I guess, before we departed to the ship, you know, before we made our way to the ship. We can do it now if you want. I just, it feels like we would have been like, oh, shoot, our bags are full of random shit.
Maybe as we're getting ready to descend into it, we would take stock of ourselves just real quick and be like, you know, is everyone properly apportioned?
So what do you guys have?
We have a silver mace, 2 sets of leather armor, 2 sealed vials, a ring of shield, and 3 potions of greater healing.
Argos, I believe you are well apportioned defensively, and if you don't mind my saying so, Ignatius, being hit is part of your game. Celeste, would you benefit from the use of this ring?
I can take a hit. What about you?
Well, stacking on a little defense is always helpful when you spend your time face to face with the enemy. If no one else has any objections, I could bear it.
I mean, I think it's kind of shiny. I think it would go well with my eyes. But
I will defer to your...
But, Caspes, if it wasn't for you back there, we wouldn't have even found this. So, if it will keep you going further, you should have it.
In confidence, I agree with your assessment. After this engagement, perhaps I will return it to you for your fashionable usage.
Yes, well... I think keeping you up may be more important than keeping myself up, so...
You know what goes great with your eyes? Life in them.
That is true, Nace.
We'll take turns.
Perfect.
It is my sincerest hope that that you will not be hit rather than having to weather one.
He lifts his bow up. He's like, hopefully I will not put myself in... many compromising positions. He'll hand the ring over to you. We'll just say Arcos had it on him and he...
Would you have it on? I mean, like, I literally don't have a problem.
Well, no, like, I don't mean he's wearing it. Oh. He probably was going through it, and we'll just say story-wise, he had it on him, and so he'll hand it over.
Okay. I'll take it and put it on, I guess, basically almost like a kind of nod to you guys and salute.
Ignatius will be like, this is a mace, and I think we all know who this should go to. Nace, mace, they rhyme, so puts it in his bag. I don't actually know what the mace does. Is it just a silver mace?
It is just a silver mace.
Celeste is a mace user.
Does Celeste already have a magical mace?
Yeah, it's a +1.
Okay. I don't know. I guess if, does Celeste want another mace? Cause,
like the Witcher?
No. Yeah, no, it's not a +1 mace.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she'll take...
Okay, yeah, because the silver mace. One can overcome some resistances. So, yeah, so he'll give that over.
You ready to descend then?
Yeah, so now we'll...
Oh, actually, before... And we're going down into the structure. Is it, like, stairs or...?
So right now, you guys came to a clearing at the top of this waterfall, and you landed there.
Yep.
Because from there, about 60 feet... of this viscous water, of this
stomp
stiff,
water.
Right, this crazy stomp water. And then it pours off the edge of this cliff. Okay. And then looking down over the edge of the cliff, you can see this pyramid structure at the bottom. So you have to go 60 feet to the edge of this cliff and then drop down.
Okay, and he has a tether that is attached to the ship.
He has a tether that's attached to the ship.
Okay, and we are going to kind of follow them over, I'm guessing?
You can do that, or you can make your own tether, whatever you guys want to do.
Well,
but you see, so I'll say, like, as he's, doof, doof, his feet are kind of sinking a little bit as he takes his slower steps. It's not like he doesn't have to run in order to stay on top of the water, but it does help.
I guess we'll follow suit.
Are you guys making your own tether or following theirs?
I think we should follow theirs.
Okay.
Assume that theirs is probably well secured and constructed and...
Perhaps Kingsley and Vilgast should stay aboard.
Yes, I feel bad sending you all. You've all done so much already. If you feel like it would be in your best interest for me to stay behind, I will.
We haven't really seen him in combat. Does he seem like he is... He doesn't seem like he's a combatant at all, right? I mean, I know we were in that one fight, but that was more like a desperation kind of thing.
He's a spellcaster.
Oh, okay, well, I guess if he's like a full spellcaster, I'm like, do you feel confident in your abilities?
Yes. Yes.
Then I think we should just leave the coward.
Yes, leave the coward.
No, I agree.
Kingsley, I'm... Yeah, no.
I mean, I can stay here and make sure that nothing happens to the ship. Maybe if there's a way we can reach each other, I've driven spelljammers before. I could fly down there if something goes awry.
Good to know.
Spelljammer infested with Niyogi, huh?
I want to see you put on the hat. Do it. Just kind of perches on the top of his weird head. Kind of duct tapes it to it. It's fine. This works good.
I'm the captain now.
All right. So.
Hey, I forgot he's like a shapeshifter. He could take on. Well,
the other guys, like all that. Six of the soldiers are starting to walk out.
Yeah. So I'll say that Ignatius will try to get somewhere in the middle because he has dimensional door. He has dimension door. So if he needs to, if someone starts to sink, he could grab them and then teleport 500 feet. So he'll kind of like try to be between everyone in the party if he can. Or, you know, near enough to them so in theory he could at least grab someone that's near to him.
Cool.
But yeah.
Alright, and Arcos can go first of our group. That's fine.
And so, what's the marching order going out on this tether?
Arcos first.
How about bring up the rear, actually?
Okay.
Maybe, because if Vilgast is going with us and Patrick, I didn't think about them.
Oh, yeah.
It's a car.
Maybe Vilgast should go behind you so that he can kind of like guide if there's anything that needs to be, what'd I say? Patrick. Yeah.
Patty's car.
He's not Patrick yet. And then Ignatius will be in where whatever amounts to the middle after that. I don't know. That's just my thought.
Yeah, so either what? In front or behind the car?
Yeah, and or wherever Celeste wants to go to. I'm not sure what would be best for her.
I don't care.
Okay. So let's say Arcos first, Vilgast second, and then say Zakar, and then Ignatius, then Celeste, and then Caspis.
Great.
As I get ready to hop off the ship, I reach back with my gun and kind of smooth my hair back as I lift up the helmet, and before I put it on, I say,
M'lady.
And seat it in place, and then we'll actually draw the blade from its dimensional door or pocket and have it drift behind me.
Okay. You guys grab the tether and
start to stomp the yard.
So you keep walking. Looking ahead, you can see the soldier leading the way leans against one of the massive stalagmites and hammers a hooked piton into it. The water ripples a bit, and I need you all to make those perception checks, baby.
Oh.
Perception is ability, shit. Right? An ability check.
Natural 20. So for 23.
23?
Yep.
I also got a 23.
Oh.
Nice.
12 for Arcos. He's trying to help Vilgast keep his footing.
My feet. Stuck.
My feet are always sinking. I don't like it.
Is, like, rolling perception stuff like an ability check?
Yeah, should be.
So I cast guidance.
It's a skill check.
Skill check, so I can't cast guidance.
It works with that, yeah.
Does it?
Ability checks are, because they don't work for saves or...
I recast guidance. So 14 plus 5, so 19?
19, and you got a 23, and you got a 23.
Yeah, we got a 23, I think.
12.
Yeah, 12.
I've had guidance this whole time.
Nice.
And since I started playing Baldur's Gate 3,
you remember?
I didn't know what that was for.
Caspis and Ignatius, as you're moving along, you see the leader turn back and look at you guys. He kind of signals that he is at the fall's edge now. And then you hear something move to your left. The water at your feet ripples gently. It might be the movement of everyone walking about, but these ripples appear a bit more intense. You turn to look and see nothing obvious. Just the stalagmites, the water, and the dark skies overhead beyond the massive jetting earthen spikes. It's quiet again, but you definitely heard something. And then right as you're turning back to continue watching your footing, you see out of the corner of your eye a giant yellow eye open on one of the stalagmites. Its slit pupil tightens as it appears to focus on your group, and then two more of the stalagmites reveal giant yellow eyes that turn and open to face you all. They dart about, staring at each of the members of your party, and then you see several of these stone-like tentacles writhe and lift out of the viscous water. One of the tentacles shoots out and grabs the elf that was leading the way and lifts him off the ground like a rag doll, lifting the tether along with it. The elven soldiers who are attached to the tether lift out of the water and into the air as the line is drawn upward with the leader, the tether retching out of your hands. You can see the two other stalagmites are still staring at you five while the third focuses on the soldiers whipped into the air. All three of them have these putrid mouths rip open on their faces, exposing razor-sharp teeth and noxious breath that permeates your senses. Their tentacles whip about as they let out an unearthly cry. And until next time, this is Everything's a Mimic.
No!
Oh,
man. Whew. We should have skipped all the conversation, just went straight to this. That sounds so intensely insane.
Everybody, thank you so much for listening to Everything's a Mimic. If you like what you heard, maybe subscribe to our Patreon. Everything's a Mimic. Patreon. Patreon.com/YouHateMimic. It's in the chest.
I made a cum joke.
That's fair. That's
fair.
Was that what that was?
Yeah.
A cum?
Mom and Dad are coming. No kid wants to see that.
I thought it was the feeling, like that gross, oppressive, like, I am in trouble, there's nothing I can do about it.
And now you were accidentally privy to one of his, or, no, you know, you were.
I got two more on the board.
That was innocent.
Over there.
Yeah.
Maybe we should put it in the middle of the table with the D20 face up, and then we can all rub it for good luck.
I'll ruin it.
Yeah, all right, never mind. Scratch that.
Cody can't touch. Oh, Cody already touched it.
Oh, God damn.
We will need to...
I'm feeling a little pooped up down here, if you know what I mean. Probably the dildo I sat on earlier.
It's that pink drink. It is going right through me.
It's trying to, but can't find an exit.
Thought it was that pink stink.
Oh, man. Have you guys ever, like, thought about what it would feel like to step on one of these ultra-sharp dice? Like, not... It's not going to be like a... ouch, you know, I almost stepped on that, but I felt it and I moved my foot. This is
so part of
sharp.
Me now.
This is part of so sharp that like you're not gonna know it's in you until it's in you.
Yeah.
And it's part of you.
Until it displaces a bone.
You'll look down and you'll see that there's just a flat plane.
Oh man, one of my favorite things to do in Skyrim was just go up to a dead body and just fucking load its face with arrows so it looked like a fucking porcupine.
I'm picturing that's what Arcos is doing.
Yeah.
Just to get the... It's been a while since he's used a bow, so he's getting his bearings again.
I used to be an adventurer.
Until I took a whole quiver of arrows to my face. To my fucking mouth.
Here to provide a significant impediment.
Over at the general. He does not have any loved ones that would want an open casket, no? As he notches another arrow.
No one loves him.
Everyone shoots him in the head. Like all the time. It's a thing.
All right. Call me Sharktooth Drizzle.
Is that your bounty hunter name?
Yeah. Sharktooth Drizzle.
It's you sound Australian for sure.
You're like South African.
Sharktooth Drizzle.
Yeah.
The Australian bounty hunter.
Maybe if your name was like Drizzy or something, they wouldn't say Drizzle. They'd say Drizzy. We'd be a mace, and then you'd probably have to add a little note to it that says silvered. Nice. As far as I know, I don't know. I don't think they have a thing for it.
They don't.
Yeah.
I'll just choose the mace plus three.
It seems fair.
I think so. It's the same thing. How about the vicious mace?
Yeah, but add some pluses to that as well.
I'll add plus five. There you go.